Good morning, church.
Good morning. Oh, I like that good morning. That was the sound of people being awake, excited for God's word. That's good. God's word is exciting. Amen. Yeah. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand and someone will get one to you. Yeah, I was sharing with First Service, just sort of came about. We used to live in the Houston area out there, and there was this guy on TV, had this huge ministry, and he used to grab the Bible and say, "This is my Bible, I am," he'd do a little jingle with the Bible. Problem was he never opened it up when he taught, and it was all just fluff and stuff. And it's like, hey guys, we open our Bibles here and we read the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that is good for our souls. And so I encourage everybody, hey, bring a Bible, we'll give you a Bible, it's God's Word. Don't trust anything I say, read it for yourself. Amen. All right, well, let's read verses 22 through 25, and we'll come right on back and jump right into it. All right. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Amen and amen. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we have been born again, Lord, that we're saved, that, Lord, you have rescued us, Lord, you have saved us, you took us from the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, and that, Lord, that you walk with us, you don't leave us to walk alone, you've given us your word, you've given us your Holy Spirit, and so, Lord, as we open up your word, I pray that you would open up our hearts. And that, Lord, that you would speak to us in such a powerful way through the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we thank you and we commit this time to you. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so, if you're joining us for the first time, we just go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. What a concept, right? The Bible, we grab it, we open it up, go systematically through it, and we do what's called expository teaching. Meaning that we draw from the Bible. We don't want to input into the Bible ideas or philosophies or theology that we may have learned somewhere else. It's what the Bible says. And so we go book by book, and right now we're in 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse 22. If you'd like to catch up, our teachings are recorded. They're on our webpage. You can go back and listen to them, and then you're like, okay, I got the background. Well, who was Peter writing to? Well, he was writing to Hebrew Christians, Messianic Jews, in the particular region which now is known as modern-day Turkey. And he was writing to them to encourage them. He wanted to encourage them. Why? Because Nero was the Caesar at the time, the emperor, and he was persecuting Christians. And so the worst was yet to come. And so he encourages them. And the way he does that is by reminding them that they are saved and their salvation involved the fullness of the Godhead. God the Father chose them, chose us. The Holy Spirit separated us, sanctified us, and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, saved us through his blood. And he says, you're saved. And not only are you saved, but you have an inheritance in heaven for you. You were taken out of this junk, forgiven of your sins, and you now have become the family of God. And with that comes your inheritance. And it cannot be taken away. And so Peter encourages them. But in our last study, we left off on verse 21. We learn that our Heavenly Father chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world. He knew that Eve was going to be deceived and she was going to sin, and that Adam was he was going to choose to sin and choose to die with his wife. He knew that. And so, therefore, he knew that man would fall and that we in turn would sin, that we would blow it, that we would mess up. And so at the same time, before the foundation of the world, we learned that God in his foreknowledge provided the solution at the same time. And our Lord Jesus Christ was also foreordained before the foundation of the world to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven and return into a right relationship with God. And so God knew the problem and he gave the solution right away. He says, you don't have to live in that condition. God in his grace and love provided the solution for our sinful nature, for our fallen nature. And the solution is? Let's try that again. The solution is? Jesus Christ, amen, who is the perfect sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He is the payment for all of our junk and at the same time our reward. How amazing is that? And listen, we learned that he was without spot, meaning born without inherent sin. Genetically perfect, he was without blemish, meaning that he never blemished his nature with sin. He lived a sinless life, unlike Adam who chose to sin. You see, Adam was also without spot. In other words, God made him perfect, but he chose to sin, so his nature was blemished. And so only the perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish was sufficient for your salvation and for my salvation. The perfect Son and the perfect Savior was sufficient to save imperfect people like you and me. And here's the good news. It's a free gift. It's free. Hey, listen, my philosophy is this. I start off at free and work my way up to cheap. It's a good philosophy. Free. I like free. I'm saved. Jesus did it for me. I'd have to work. I received this incredible gift that he's given me. And so the greatest tragedy, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, produced the greatest salvation. And so by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're redeemed. We have been restored into a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's the grace and that's the love of God. Man, what a gospel message. That is the gospel message, church. And maybe you're in here and you never heard the gospel message. You're like, well, what's Christian? What's this? What's that? Listen, there is no other message. There's nothing out there. Any world religion, anything that even compares, it even comes close. All the other religions, first of all, they're false. They're demonic. That's what the Bible says, fallen angels. And here's the thing. They all want you to do. How do you work up to this? Maybe if you do this, maybe you'll be there. Maybe. No, we serve a living God, a loving God that says, no, no, I know you can't do it. So I'm going to leave heaven, I'm going to come into earth, and I'm going to pay for your sins, for your salvation. I'm going to rescue you. Every other religion is trying to reach heaven. Christianity is God reaching down to man. That's awesome. Is it not? All right, well, let's take a look at verse 22 together. Look at your Bibles with me. Notice what it says. It says, since, not if, it says, since you have, past tense, purified your souls in obeying the truth. And so, what is truth? What is truth? The Word of God is truth. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, as he was praying for his disciples, by the way, are you his disciples? Am I his disciples? Yes, disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. In other words, he was praying for them and he's praying for us as well. He prayed, he said, sanctify them, that's you and us, by your truth. Your word is truth. Listen, God's word is true. It's inerrant, never changing. And it's amazing. And it's able to save. It's able to restore. I love the Psalms 107 that says, he sent forth his word and healed them and saved them from their destruction. Isn't that a beautiful psalm? That's God's promise. That is his word. Amazing, powerful. Turn with me to Psalms 19, verse 7. Right at the middle of the Bible. Go right to the middle of the Bible. Psalms 19. You can also write down on the margin there of your Bible, Psalms 119. which speaks of this as well. It's incredible. So Psalms 19, verse 7. There is no better sound than hearing all that rustling of Bibles. Beautiful. Our Lord is pleased as he hears that. It's like, Psalms 19, verse 7 says, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Praise Jesus for that, because I'm simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. God's word will keep us from sin, but sin will keep us from God's word. And so God's word purified, Peter says, since you, past tense, purified your souls in obeying the word of truth in the obedience of God's word. But notice, turn back with me to our text in 1 Peter, verse 22. So you go way back again where we were at, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Come on back to our text. And so Peter says this, since you, past tense, purified your souls in obeying the truth, the word of God, you've been obedient. Through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And so it is through the Spirit that we're empowered. The Spirit of God meets the Word of God, and the child of God is empowered to do the work of God. Isn't that amazing? God, we need the Spirit of God in order to be able to obey the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God in order to be able to love God's people in sincerity. Sincere. Not what is this person going to do for me? What can I get out of this here? No, you need to be born again. You need the Word of God. You need God in order for you to love, for me to love somebody sincerely, with a godly love, without a hidden agenda. And so Peter says, you have, past tense, purified your souls. You have sincerely loved one another, all made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then he says, but don't stop doing it. He says, don't stop doing it. He continues on because he says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. In other words, fervently, intensely. Hey, guys, this means a lot. It means loving one another a lot with a pure heart, with pure intentions, with godly love. Jesus said, you will know they are my disciples by the love that they have for one another. When we love one another, that is the work of God in our lives. That is the work of God in our lives. And so, don't stop doing it. Continue loving one another with this intense, pure, godly love. And then why? Why do we do this? Well, we learned last week. Because you are no longer the same old man. You're not the man that you used to be before you came to Christ. You're not the same woman. You are new. You have been born again into the family of God. You have a new nature. Look at verse 23. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Having been born again, you and I are new creations, no longer the old man. We have been freed from the power of sin and the eternal penalty of sin. Listen, brother, sister, the excuse that that's just who I am, deal with it, is no longer valid for the Christian, because you are no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer that old man. You have been given the power as you've been born again. Your slate has been wiped clean. You start brand new. You're a new man. Now, the sinful nature is still in there. It's up to you if you want to go ahead and give into those things, but you don't have to. And so you don't have to do those things. You're no longer tied, chained. You've been freed from sin. The child of God is continuously growing in the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. The Bible says then, this is what it says about you and me. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen. Old things have passed away. That old man, that old nature, you're no longer tied. You're no longer a slave to it. Behold, all things have become new. I come from a law enforcement background. I did that for about 10 years of my life in one way or another. And I also come from a rough neighborhood background. I come from really the hood. I grew up in LA area. And so I've seen both sides of the situation. And here's the thing. I know so many people that said, man, if I had a do-over, if I could just wipe the slate clean, if I could just start over. Here's the thing. When I came to know the Lord later on, I had the opportunity to be able to do that with people that I arrested. I'm like, hey, listen, wouldn't you like a new start? And a lot of times I thought I was going to let them go. I'm like, of course not. You know, it's like, hey, listen. Listen, we have to pay for the consequences in this world, the things that we do. There's a penalty. However, I said, what about if God says, I can wipe your slate clean? What about if all these sins, all these things, all that weight that you've done, what about if God says, I'm going to give you a brand new start? And I got to share the gospel with them. A brand new birth. You can start your life all over again. And brother, sister, if you're here today, friend, if you don't know Jesus, you can do that today. You can do that today. And so, you have been born again. You have a new birth. God has not only washed away your sins, but he has given you the power to break free from your sins. And listen, if you want to. You have to want to. Because if you don't want to, then nothing's going to happen. Because oftentimes, God knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows the deepest part of it. And he knows the intents of the heart. And so if a person continuously seems to be going over that cycle and doing it over and over again, and they're like, well, you know, I can't break free from that. Truth be told is that person doesn't want to be free from that sin, that thing that they enjoy doing. But there's consequences. They want to be free from the consequences. And they feel bad when they get caught, but they don't repent. There's not a repentance. And sometimes the consequences brings that person to that point that says, Lord, I'm done with this. I am done. I am no longer want to go back to that old life, do these things. Lord, forgive me. That's a good place to be. When you and I, when we get to that place, the Spirit of God meets the Word of God with the man of God, and all of a sudden, there's a change, an incredible change in the life of a Christian. But let's look at our text again. Verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Notice, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Is forever a long time? Forever is a long time. The word seed here is the same as when a man and a woman come together to make a baby. That's the Greek word for it. At the time of conception, the seed of a man enters a woman and life begins in the womb. And the baby starts to form. And biologically, we know that technically the seed... Anyway, I don't want to go into those things. The point being that life starts at the womb when these two meet. All of a sudden, life starts. A baby is formed. And listen, the baby, The baby will have the attributes of both their parents, good and bad. And they come together, and all of a sudden, because they have their DNA, and one of the attributes is sin, fallen nature. So I have a daughter that I'm not going to name names. I mean, you guys have a choice, right? You guys know who. Then in the morning, she gets up, and it just grumps, right? Just grumps. Coming down the stairs, it just grumps. And I'm like, baby, smile. And my wife looks at me, I wonder where she gets it from. And we're not talking about me, we're talking about her, you know? Attributes. The attributes, good or bad, our kids get it. However, that is your physical birth. Your new birth is not like your natural birth. Why? Because the source is different, guys. Amen. Notice what it says. Not a corruptible seed, meaning man, but incorruptible, meaning the Word of God, meaning Jesus. And notice, through the Word. The Bible refers to the Word as seed many different areas, as a farmer planting seeds, because a seed germinates and gives life. And so, through the Word, the agent is the Word, the Spirit of God is the person that causes us to be born again, and so which lives and abides forever. So when you are born again spiritually, it's a different source. You're born again, not of the seed of humanity, which carries sin and death, but through the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. Unlike man, both agent and the source are incorruptible. The Word of God, inerrant, perfect Word. Nothing's wrong with it. It doesn't change. We should build our life upon it. And the Spirit of God, who is perfect, sinless. And so when those two, the agent comes together, this is incorruptible on both ends. You may remember the parable that Jesus gave in regards to the seed. And a farmer that went out and cast its seed, and it talks about the seed landing on soft soil, some on hard ground, some in the rocks, and he gives the results of these here. But there was one that says that sprouted all this fruit. That was the one that landed in good soil, in the good heart. You see, the Word of God infuses life. And so, you and I were saved, born again, when we heard the Word of God, the gospel message, and we received the Word of God in the soil of our hearts. And when those two came together, spiritual life happened. Just as a picture of what happens physically, spiritually, that's what happens. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 in your Bibles. John chapter 1. And the Word of God is powerful, guys. It's amazing. When we share the Word of God, it impacts the soul, impacts the heart. Maybe some of you have experienced that you gave somebody the Word of God, not yourself, verses, and they're like, wow. Or you prayed over them, and you prayed the Word of God over them, and that person just breaks down in tears because the Word of God is powerful. And so take a look at John chapter 1. Why is it powerful? Look, in the beginning was the Word. Who's it speaking of? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word of God, Jesus. But look down a little bit further down. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10, what it says. He says, he, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That's a sad statement. And this is both the world, humanity, and also the Jewish nation. And so he says, the world did not receive him. But notice, verse 12, all you can highlight, you can underline, you can put an asterisk next to this thing. Verse 12 says, but as many, notice, as many, it's open to the world, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Notice, here's the thing is that people say that, people that don't know the Lord often say, well, we're all children of God. We all, you know, we're his kids. We're all his kids. And no, the Bible says no. No, you have to be born again. Notice what it says. It says, but as many as received him. Have you received Jesus? To them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believed, have you believed in his name? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men. In other words, not a natural birth, this is a second birth, but of God. Amen. Of God. A spiritual birth. An amazing thing. Being born again. But turn one page over to your right. And we're going to look at John 3 as well. John 3. Listen, what John was speaking of here is that a person must believe, must receive, and then they become. That is the gospel. You believe, you receive, and you become a child of God. I hope that makes sense. Amen. It makes sense to one person. Chapter 3 of John. All right, great. If you want to share the gospel, if you want to evangelize, which the answer is yes, I want to, Pastor, I do. If you want to, or since you want to, I would encourage you to learn chapter 3 inside and out, that you can share this with anybody that you come in contact with. Here is the record of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. He comes to him by night because he doesn't want to be seen in the daytime. Because is it possible that this is the Messiah, that this is the Christ? Well, they're rejecting him, and all the religious leaders don't want anything to do with him. In fact, they're planning how to kill him. And so he, it says that Nicodemus, not only is he a teacher of Israel, he is the teacher of Israel. And he sees the works that Jesus does, and he realizes, oh man, something's up here. Could it be? Could he be the Messiah? He knows that through his works, through his knowledge, he's not saved. And so he comes, and Jesus addresses his heart. But in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, let's start at verse 1. Why not? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. How many people want to sneak in and see Jesus at night? I don't want to be seen at church. They're weird Christians, man. I don't want to be associated with them. We just want to go and see what's going on. That's what basically he was saying. You know, he doesn't want to be seen with Jesus. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi or teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. Notice how Jesus answers. Verse 3, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cuts to the chase. He says, Nicodemus, you're not born again, buddy. You may know the word of God. You need to be born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Listen, there's this sarcasm here. This is another Bible study. But this was reference to a non-Jew becoming a Jew as well. So they knew what this meant. And he's saying, wait, I'm from the children of Israel, man. I got it. What do you mean being born again? And so Jesus answers. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, natural birth, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And notice, then he gives this illustration, which he should have caught on right away, being that he was a Pharisee, this teacher. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So he gives him an illustration, but it's more than an illustration. The illustration says, Nicodemus, you see the wind? You can't see the wind, you see the effects of the wind. And so is the case for those that are born again. They're born of the Spirit. You can't see it, but you see the effects of being born again. But here it is. Nicodemus should have known, and I imagine he did know, because being a teacher, he knew that Jesus was taking him back to Ezekiel 37, where God says to Ezekiel, son of man, he says, go and prophesy to the house of Israel. Go into the valley and there's all these bones, dead bones, he says, and prophesy, speak the word of God to them. Prophesy to the spirit. And then it says that the bones came together and then sinew came together and flesh came upon those bones. So what he was saying is Israel was going to be born again. And the word that was used for the Spirit of God was ruach, and it's the same word that he uses here. So Nicodemus should have known. Born again, in the Spirit. So listen, guys, I think we're getting the point. A person must be born again in order to become a child of God. And it's the power is in the Word. It's through the Word, by the Holy Spirit. So come on back to our text. If you move from there, come on back to 1 Peter. And so, Peter says that we've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word of God endures, abides forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will endure forever, is what Peter is saying here. Notice verse 24 says, because... So he goes on and talks about the power of the Word of God, the endurance, how it will last forever, how it's incorruptible, and now he gives the contrast of it. He says, because, the alternative, all flesh, meaning corruptible seed, humankind, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And so, what is he saying? He says the best man can produce is temporary glory. Just like a wildflower in the grass, man at his peak is just like that wildflower that is. It looks good just for a second, then it withers and it falls away and he dies. That's it, because it's corruptible seed. Listen, the Bible says the bodily exercise profits a little. There's a little profit to that. And we should take that profit. We want to be healthy for our families. It's good. But he says that we are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Because the Bible says that godliness is profitable for all, for this life and that to come. In other words, he says that exercise you're doing physically, says exercise yourself to godliness, the Word of God, fellowship, time of prayer, know God. And that is not only going to keep you well nourished, give you strength, grow you, but it's also going to affect those around you and your family and your immediate sphere and those outside of the sphere. And it's good for this life and also for the life to come, for eternity. And that is a good, good word, guys. That is encouraging. We need the Word of God. We need to be nourished. Man, corruptible. The glory of man, temporary. But verse 25, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. The Word of God, which is incorruptible, an incorruptible seed through which we have been born again, endures forever, will never pass away. Now notice what it says. Now this is the Word, that Word we've been talking about, which by the gospel was preached to you. He says, this is the word you received. This powerful word. This word that you heard and you were born again. And isn't that what happened? Didn't you hear the word of God? And it was like God was speaking to you, moving in your heart, in the Spirit of God. And it was like, man, I heard. And so when I heard, I believed and I received and I became. And so this is awesome. This is the word that was preached to them. I have you turn one more place, but keep your finger where you're at in 1 Peter. But one more place, Isaiah 55:10. Isaiah 55:10, the first of the major prophets. Go to the middle of your Bible and go about four books over to your right. Once again, it's the word of God that we need, not the word of man. Notice what it says. Isaiah 55, verse 10 through 11 says, "For as the rain comes down," notice the illustration that God uses. He says, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return back." In other ways, it falls, it comes down, it doesn't go back, "but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void." In other words, there's going to be fruit. When I send out my word, it's going to nourish, it's going to water, and it's going to bring forth fruit. He says, "It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." And amen to that. Because God's word heals. Once again, I love Psalms 107. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalms 126:5 says, listen, those who sow in tears, sowing, once again, the farmer, sowing in tears, sowing the word of God, shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, it can be hard sowing the word of God, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them. There's going to be fruit, guys. The word of God produces fruit. Last reference, Hebrews 4:11. You're very familiar with this section of scripture. It says, "For the word of God is living." Living. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. That is pretty sharp. Soul and spirit. How do you determine that? The soul of man and the spirit of God. It's so precise. And notice, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you give the word of God to someone, it may be a conversation that you're having, and they may be putting up a front. They may even be self-deceived. You give them the word of God for that particular situation, it cuts right through all that fluff. It cuts right through that facade, all those walls. It cuts right through those lies, and it reveals the true intents of the heart. And you're like, how did he know? I didn't know. Jesus knew. It's the Spirit of God. It cut right on through. And notice verse 13, it says, "And there is," as I'm quoting from Hebrews, "and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." God sees. God sees. Everywhere we go, God sees. The word of God is so powerful, it cuts through everything. Through everything. And it reveals the true intents of our hearts. And listen, and through it we're born again. And by it we grow. The Bible says that faith, you may be in here and say, "Man, I'm just lacking faith. I'm dry." Well, the Bible, the Word of God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to take in the Word of God, and you will grow. And since we have been born again, as Christians, there are some things in our lives that need to go. Some things that need to change. Some things that need to be removed, to be put away, that is according to our new nature. We no longer have to go back to our old nature. Look at chapter 2, verse 1, what it says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, if you're back, therefore, so connecting both those thoughts, therefore, in light of this, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. So in light of this incredible new birth, we are to lay aside, put away, get rid of all malice. Malice is wickedness. All deceit, all lying and conniving and manipulation, those things should not belong in the life of a believer. Hypocrisy or mask wearer, that's what hypocrisy means. It means that you wear a mask, one here, one there, one there. And you're not the same person everywhere. It says you need to put away those things. You need to be the same person everywhere. Envy, that's greed. A malicious desire to have what somebody else has at all costs. So, and evil speaking or defaming others. These are things that should go from the life of a Christian. And it happens slowly. Listen, God grows us, and slowly it takes away one thing, and then another, and then another. Because remember, we're born again, and when we're born again, what are we? We're just born adults? No, we're born babies. And a baby has to grow, has to be nourished, and begins to understand, and it begins to get strong, and walk, first crawl, walk, and then runs. And so, when we're born again, all these things should go and is replaced for a desire of the Word of God. Notice verse 2, he carries on. He says, you got to put away all these things. And verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desiring the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, man, wow. As a baby, I don't know about you, but I have these grandkids that are incredible. It reminds me of the commercial of Geico. You guys may remember the commercial of Geico where this guy is teaching these young men not to be like their parents. They want to break out a photo, and they're like, no. Come on, don't do that. That's not good. I'm that guy. I'm like, let me show you the pictures of my grandkids. I don't care. Let me show you. These are the babies. And so when we're born again, we're not born fully grown. We're just born as babies. And you may know, parents, you know this, that a baby, when a baby's born, they have an incredible appetite for their mother's milk. There was no Similac back then. None of that powder stuff. No. There's nothing better, more nutritious, or healthier for a baby than mother's milk. It's pure. It is natural. It comes through the mom. It's filtered. All the nutrition, everything it needs is provided. It's not even polluted by the air. And that baby gets that nutrition. It's pure. And the baby is extremely hungry. And it gets all its nutrition. And I don't know. All those babies, they're little, but they got some lungs. They're like, feed me, right? They want that milk. And he's saying, if you're born again, that's how you should be. You should want the Word of God. Man, I want the Word of God. I want to grow. I want to be satisfied. Baby's hungry. When someone is born again, they have a desire for the pure milk of the Word, and they grow. And the more that baby eats, the more that baby grows. And listen, I hear this often. I have this conversation often, either with people that are just gave their life to the Lord, they're born again, or maybe others that maybe gave their life to the Lord. They were born again, but they didn't follow up. Because you get sort of two groups of people. You get one that is born again, and man, they just dive into the Word. They want the Word of God, and they just grow tremendously. And then you have others that are born again, and they come to church every once in a while, and they don't grow. They don't grow. Years go by, and they don't grow. And listen, a baby's cute when they're a baby, but when you got a 20-year-old and they're still in diapers, it's not cute. It's not cute. We need to grow. And unfortunately, Some Christians are like that. They never grew. And the Bible says, though you should be teachers by now, you need somebody else, somebody to feed you the basic principles of the Word, the milk of the Word. And so you can have a Christian that comes to know the Lord. And I've seen this, oh man, it's such a blessing. They come, they can't get enough of the Word. The church is open, they're here, they're reading the Word of God. They're in fellowship, and in a couple years, they're just like the wisdom, the fruit. Their lives are changed, they're restored, and they're just growing tremendously. And you have somebody here that has been a Christian for 20 years. They're born again, but once in a while, they show up to church. They go, from the Bible, it's dusty, they don't use it. And their life reflects it. They get in trouble. Their life, there's a mess. And they'll come back to the Lord for a second or two. And then they go back and this and that. Because they're not being nourished in the Word of God. And therefore, they're weak spiritually. But you have this one. There's like 2 years. And they're a whole lot wiser. And so much more mature than somebody that's been a Christian for years. Which one do you want to be? Which one do we want to be, right? You want to be fed. And so, but the point that I want to make is that people ask sometimes when they come back, maybe they backslid and they're coming back and they're just so excited about the Word of God and about Jesus. And they're like, listen, how do I fast track this? How can I just want to know the Word of God. It's like osmosis. I just want it. And I can understand that zeal. It's great. You know, I just want to know it. I want to be able to share. I want to be able to do all these things. And I always tell them the same thing. Read the Word of God consistently every day. Read, study, and obey the Word of God, and you will grow spiritually. It's not one big old recipe. It's very simple. Very simple. You will see your life transformed. Can I say that again? If you read the Word of God, if you partake of the Word of God, if you obey the Word of God, you will grow and you will see your life transform and God would use you mightily. Amen? Amen. Cassie, can I have you come on up? Hey, can we all stand? As Cassie leads us into worship, maybe you're here this morning and have never given your life to Jesus, and you're not a part of the family of God. You heard what was said, but you don't fully understand. But you tasted that the Lord is good in the sense that you heard the Word of God, and it's like, wow, that just strikes a chord, and it moves me, and the Spirit of God is calling on to you. And you said, I hear all these things. I've heard and felt the power of the Word today, but you don't know the Lord. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so, if you no longer want to live that life, if you want to be forgiven of your sins, if you say, I'm done with my own life, I'm done of chasing those things that are hopeless, and I want a living hope, Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. If you want to give your life over to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand here in a minute. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to the Lord. You will never regret it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your Word that is able to save. Thank you that you're so good to us. Thank you that you love us so much, Lord, that you bring people, you call them, and you present the gospel to them. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, a new life. And Lord, but you've given us free will. That we make a choice. And so with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if there's someone here that says, I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to start a new life. I'd like to be born again. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I see you. You can put your hand down. I see you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, the Spirit of God, He is touching your heart. The enemy will say, no, no. I'm just going to give you a minute here. Your life will never be the same. It's been incredible. For those of you that raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to just repeat this prayer, just in the quietness of your heart. In fact, we will all do it as a church. How about that? We would just do it out loud. Because we're welcoming people into the family of God. We'll just all do it. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I turn from my sins. I want nothing to do with them and ask you to forgive me. I believe that you died for me and rose again. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I will follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you for saving me. Listen, if you just prayed this prayer and meant it, Jesus Christ has now taken residency in your heart. And the Bible says that not only you are rejoicing, the church rejoices with you, but the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Your decision to follow Jesus Christ means that God has forgiven your sins and that you're going to spend all of eternity in heaven. You have eternal life. Congratulations. Lord, thank you once again. We love you. We praise you. May you just bless my brothers and my sisters. And I pray for these two individuals that gave their life to the Lord, that you would protect them, that your hand would be upon them, Lord, that when attacks come by the enemy and by our flesh, that, Lord, that they would feel your presence, that everywhere they turn, that they would see your hand and feel your love and your grace. May you go before them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.